The Rudin Report Live presents Nothing But Net, a look at Connecticut high school basketball with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Everybody, and welcome to Nothing But Net on this snowy Sunday. Hope everybody's doing well. Nothing But Net is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Dutchess Restaurants, fresh food, served fast. Week two of the conference season is in the books now, and I said that at the start I need a couple of weeks to start getting a feel on the season, and I feel that I'm starting to get a feel on the season. I got to see six teams in three games this week, most of the top teams minus one, and those three games are going to be the basis of our discussion this week because we can kind of analyze a couple of teams that are doing well and one or two that are struggling right now. And joining us, fresh off his overtime buzzer-beating win against West Hill, Ludlow coach John Daly is going to be joining us on the second half of the show. My partner, as always, and he probably was the only person watching the stream yesterday of Staples playing in Massachusetts and warming up for what's a normal first-round Division I CIAC blowout, Mike Walsh. Mike, I know you enjoyed that game a lot.
Well, I didn't stay watching it for too long. They played Taconic High School out of Massachusetts, and I don't know who makes these pairings, but they are similar to some of the CIAC pairings. But, yeah, they won by, 92 to 32. And at the end, Staples was taking shot clock violations so that they didn't go over 100, which was very nice that Davey tried to be, comforting to the other team. But, again, Staples is Staples. Obviously, they're a very good team. And I would have liked to see them paired against somebody who would give them some competition. Because if you look at their schedule so far this year, they really haven't played anybody, maybe outside of Archbishop Molloy. And I think that they'll be able to adjust when they play tougher competition. But you always like to play good competition.
No, I think and that's a tough call. You hate as a coach to be in that situation. I don't know what's worse, scoring against the team or trying not to score against the team. It's I don't know what the right answer is. You just hate to be in that situation. And a month or so ago, the Staples non-league schedule looked really good. And unfortunately, they haven't had a lot of competition. And I know Dave Goltra would have probably gladly taken a loss in one of those games to have a few top games, but he's going to have to settle for the best of the FCAC. And talking about the best of the FCAC, why don't we work ourselves backwards from my week? And Friday night I was in Trumbull to see Wilton for the first time and Trumbull for the second time in a week. And the Eagles came away with a pretty impressive 20-point win. And they and Staples are now the only two undefeated teams. And what kind of struck me, and this is why you need a little bit of body of work, coming off of last Friday's game when they beat Fairfield Ward, they had 18 points after about 18 minutes of play, and they were 1 for 10 from outside, and they couldn't hit an outside shot. And they hit those 18 points in just under 7 minutes against Wilton, and 16 three-point shots, and they were just flying. And they weren't just coming off the hands of Sean Wilson. They were getting it from Jaden Tuhase. They were getting it from David Bagley. They were getting it from Alex Roth. Wilton and Joel and the Warriors stayed in the zone. I think Joel was, a little worried about them driving to the basket, and B, kind of hoping that they were going to shoot like they did against Ward. But if they shoot like they did on Friday night, and especially with the defense they played, Trumbull's going to be, it's going to be hard to give them that first loss.
No, I agree with you. And I think Joel did the right thing. I think that playing them zone was the way to go. And They just came out, though. I think they hit 6 3-pointers in that first quarter there. In fact, I think their first 18 points were on 3-pointers. But, you know, that's the way to play him, because I don't know if he played a man, the quickness, as you say, of Trumbull would have given him just as much trouble. And some nights they hit the threes, which they did Friday night, but other nights they made miss. But that, I think that was good strategy for Joel. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. His the defense of Trumbull kind of, you know, they play hard on defense, and their quickness really helps them become a better team. As you say, their weakness may be their rebounding, but they have some quick jumpers and able to get off their feet quickly and get some rebounds. But I have to say that Trumbull is one of the top three teams in the FCAC, maybe top four teams in the FCAC right now.
Yeah, I think for me right now, it's definitely Staples, Trumbull, Ridgefield, Ludlow, and I'm not quite sure how I'd order them yet, but those right now to me are a clear top four. And you're not going to lose too many games, as you said, all 18 points in the first quarter on 6 threes. They had 10 threes in the first half. 30 of their 35 points came on 3-point shots. Likelihood of them doing that again, well, I guess we'll wait and see, but I agree with you. I don't blame it wasn't a case of Joel making a bad coaching decision. It was just, you know what? It was just one of those nights where everything was going in, and it wasn't coming from one player. It wasn't even like you could cheat on Sean Wilson, and he got into foul trouble for a little while there. But if he just, when he wants to take over a game, he takes over a game. But he's not a ball hog, and you know, he will share it. But if Trumbull, you can see if Trumbull really needs a basket, he wants to be the one with the ball in his hands, and that's what you expect from a great player.
No question. Sean Wilson is a difference maker, one of the few in the league. And you know, because I consider, by the way, Staples to have five difference makers. But Sean Wilson is an excellent player, and he makes good decisions. And Trumbull's going to go as far as him, I think, in the league. And it should be interesting. They're 8-0 overall, though, you know. So, again, you know, who knows with Trumbull? They're a team that can get better and better as they go on. And the FCAC comes down to one game, and they play well in that one game and shoot like they did against Wilton. They may win it all.
Yeah, I don't know about winning it all yet, but they're going to be tough. They rebound. The rebounding is a concern. You know, it wasn't a problem when you're hitting all those threes. It doesn't really matter whether you can rebound or not. But on a night when, if they're playing a team with size and those shots aren't falling and you're only getting one shot at the basket, they're going to have some trouble. Their speed and their defense are other factors that make them so difficult. You know, just kind of, this was my first real look at Wilton, and I kept saying I had no feel for Wilton. My initial impression is that they are a team that's probably, they're going to make the tournament, and they'll probably finish somewhere in the 5-6-7 area, probably a little bit on the higher side of that. There are a lot of things I like about it. They have a little bit of size, and you know, Curtis Jackson, the star football player, he gives them a little bit of presence. He had 11 points. And Max Totten inside, and then you know, Sean Kalisky, the sophomore guard that probably is going to be the guy who will take over games at some point. He finished with 14 points. They stayed with them for a while. You know, it was a game into the third quarter. Excuse me. And then, you know, the Trumbull's 3-point reign literally just kind of overwhelmed them, but I think Wilton's I think Wilton's probably on the upper half of the upper part of the middle part of the pack of teams that will make the tournament.
I agree with you, Dave. I think that Joel does a great job, and You know, he has those kids believing in themselves now. And I think that, as you say, they're going to be in the middle of the pack, probably from 5 to 8. And, you know, their whole goal, obviously, is to make the tournament. And I think that they may come along as the season goes on.
No, I agree. I think they're going to get better. And they're going to I still see these teams below Staples beating each other. And I think Wilton's going to be part of that pack. They're based on what I saw, there wasn't anybody outside of Staples where I said they can't beat them. And I guess we're saying that with Staples. You know, Staples will have a competitive game or two at some point where they're not playing well and the opposition is. But I think Wilton's is going to be part of that heap of teams that are going to keep beating each other. They're going to get better, and they're going to be a team that you're not going to want to play in the postseason. Why don't we take a break, and when we come back, let's segue over to Fairfield Ludlow, which had an interesting week. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school basketball. Nothing But Net on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and let's jump over to another team that's undefeated in league playoff to a 4-0 start, though. It wasn't easy come Friday night, but Fairfield Ludlow got tested against West Hill, got sent to overtime. The Viking backcourt that we've talked so much about played a great game, and West Hill makes a couple of late foul shots in overtime, ties the game, and Ludlow comes down, runs a nice play, and Lorenzo Stabilini gets the ball and hits about a 12-15 footer, and the Falcons survive 53-51. And you were giving me some play-by-play on my ride home from Trumbull, and then I needed to start writing. I thought by the time I got out of my car that Fairfield Ludlow was in a safe spot, and then you told me that you gave me play-by-play at the last possession of regulation, and I put the game on for overtime. But I also got to see Ludlow in person for the first time Tuesday with a 55-37 win over New Canaan. I'm impressed. I've been impressed by Ludlow. There's a lot of things they did this week that I really like, and they're a top three or four team in my eyes right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree. John Daly, who we'll have on later, can tell us a little bit about what happened in that West Hill game. But the way they played New Canaan, they just took New Canaan right out of the game. And the surprising thing to me was, and I think the coach Melzer Denny said it after the game, that his defense has not been what it's been in the past. And then you can improve on that, and I'm sure he will. But Ludlow just took him apart, and Newecker got everything inside that he wanted and just took the game away from New Canaan. And, again, that's a credit to their team and the way they played. Now, they're again at home against West Hill on Friday, and I watched that game because it was probably one of the best games I've seen all year as far as excitement. And, you know, West Hill actually had a chance to win the game. They had tied it and were shooting a foul shot with 1.5 seconds to go. And the foul shot rimmed out and sent the game into overtime. And then, as you say, they went back and forth, and Sabellini made the shot to beat West Hill. You know, I don't know if that was a play, by the way. I think it was just the way it turned out, and he came off a pass from Newecker and hit the jump shot, and everybody went wild. The excitement of the fans running on the floor and everything else was, and that's great to see. It's high school basketball, really exciting. But I really got to give kudos to West Hill. Their two guards are as good as any two guards in the league, A.P. Stevenson and Jaquan Turner. They were, you know, kept them in the game the whole way. Now, if Berto can find some pieces around him, he really only plays five or six guys, and, you know, the other guys are learning and hopefully they'll get better to give those two guards support. But the way they hung in there against Ludlow on Ludlow's home court tells me that, you know, they have a real good chance of making the final eight. And again, if you're playing them, the two guards, you better stop them, because otherwise they're going to give you a lot of trouble. But, you know, the other thing on that is Ludlow, you know, you're going to have games like that where you're coming off a big win against New Canaan and you kind of maybe let down a little bit against West Hill. But, you know, to come back and to win it, I think, is the mark of a team that's going to be successful. And obviously they're going to be successful.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I actually went and looked at the schedule to see who West Hill was playing this week, if they're playing anybody that was worth going down to check them out, and I'm going to have to go see them a different week. But I agree, West Hill's going to be a dangerous team, and Ludlow will be the first to tell you that. You know, looking at the Falcons and both games, and we talked about New Canaan struggling. You talked about New Canaan struggling on defense. Second half of that game against New Canaan, 12 field goals. They were all within 3 feet of the basket, so they were getting inside at will. It wasn't just all Noecker either. He had 3 field goals in the half, and he had finished with a game high 22. But they were just getting inside at ease. And you know, looking at New Canaan, and I'm going to probably see them at least once this coming week. They're still kind of all over the map, and they're just trying to find themselves. And I'm certainly not going to write them off right now. But I really, Noecker, and not only is he so hard to contain, but he also gets to the foul line, and that's a big thing as well. When you have something like someone like that, and he's getting to the foul line, and then you look at the game against West Hill and. You want to play games like that. You don't. You'd like to blow everybody out, but games like that are what's going to help you come March and the postseason. But another thing that stood out to me, and John Daly will sign up for this every time, is 5 starters. Everyone scored at least 8 points. It was balanced scoring. Noecker finished with 17, and Stabilini with 10. But they had balanced scoring, and if they're going to be successful, teams are going to collapse on Noecker. They're going to play a bunch of different defenses. I don't know if they'll box and want them or not, but they're certainly going to do things to try to deny the ball inside. If they're going to get scoring from other places, it's just going to make them even more dangerous.
Yeah, there's no question about that, but again, I think the key with them is going to be their defensive effort. At times, I didn't think their defense was what it was against New Canaan when they played West Hill. But that could have been the two guards on West Hill, too. They're pretty good. But John, the other thing about John, he's not afraid to change up in the middle of a game. When he saw they were struggling against West Hill, he went some 2-2-1, full court press. And then he went some zone. He mixes his defenses and handles his personnel as well as anybody in the league. And that's a credit to them. And that's why they're going to win some close games. And sometimes you got to be lucky where the kid misses the foul shot and you go overtime and Zebulini comes down and hits that game winner. So as you say, you got to win games like that to be successful. They did. And, you know, from now on, I'm sure that they're going to be up for every game. And, you know, they're going to be right there at the end.
I mean, we've seen it whenever John's had talent. The team does well. The team doesn't underachieve. And like you said, he mixes things up. I think in my ride home from Trumbull, the 20-minute ride or so, you were giving me some play-by-play, and I think you said he was in like 3 or 4 different defenses just in that time because West Hill was playing so well. So he's definitely going to adapt there. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, real quickly before we go to break, after Staples, how do you put Ridgefield, Ludlow, and Trumbull? If I mean, I do my bracketology, and I'm not quite sure. You know, I probably, and I haven't seen them yet. It's going to be weird for me, Mike, because, and this happened last year, I'm seeing New Canaan a lot now because their schedule is front-loaded. I'm not sure when I'm going to see Ridgefield. I haven't seen them yet, but their schedule is backloaded. So the second half of the year, I'm going to see Ridgefield a lot, and I'm probably not going to see New Canaan at all. So, but how would you rank the top four? What's your top four right now?
Well, from what I've seen, I have to go with Ridgefield. They have the point guard, they have the inside guy in Foley. And they have Andrew, who does a heck of a job coaching. I just wish he'd send us the box scores so we could find out who else is on that team doing a great job. Because he's won some pretty impressive games as he went.
Well, you have his phone number now. Here. You have his phone number. You're the nothing but net hitman.
I'd just like to know. But again, he's got two really really good players, and he uses his. Players very, very well. He's talking about changing defenses. Once in a while, he'll change up too, but it's strictly his man-to-man, which was excellent. And he's fine-tuning that, so I'd have to put him at number two. I think I'd have to go with Ludlow at three and a very close call with Trumbull. I mean, Trumbull, with Sean Wilson, as I said earlier, is a game-changer, and if he goes off, he's going to be tough to stop. So, I mean, those would be my top four right now. And five through eight is still forming, I think. We'll see how that comes out.
I agree with you. And the 2-3-4 pick is really, really tough, but I think I agree with you. And by the way, get somebody there to teach you how to get on Instagram. Because sometimes the Instagram account, they take a picture of the scoreboard, and their scoreboard when they're at home has players scoring. So sometimes that's a little cheat way to find out the state secrets of who's doing what for Ridgefield. But
I have to tell you, social media did not interrupt you, but my daughter Allie has me on Instagram.
Oh, you are on Instagram.
I have to check that out now. I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that,
if you go to their Instagram account, there usually is a picture of the scoreboard. And if they're at home, it's usually got the – now the scoreboard's going to get turned off right at the end of the games now that
I'm going to talk to Andrew, and he's going to give us the box.
Nothing but net muscle. I'm anointing you that. So
I don't expect him to do it himself, but he's got about 12 coaches there, so I'm sure one of them could help us out. But anyway,
okay. Well, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, Fairfield Ludlow coach John Daly is going to join us. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school basketball. You're listening to Nothing But Net on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and Nothing But Net is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. We've been talking Fairfield Ludlow basketball the last 10, 15 minutes or so, and we're going to continue to do so. Joining us right now, and I watched the replay after the shot and the celebration at midcourt. And he made a quick appearance on the court and then quickly got himself off the court to show proper decorum to the West Hill people. And that's Falcons coach John Daly. John, I got to tell you, I saw a little leap in the air, but I didn't see a lot of air between the sneakers and or the shoes and the court.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, this 45-year-old body now, it just doesn't have the hops that it used to.
Well, yeah, I thought you got up high enough to dunk on that one, Jack.
I think I had a little more air time when we upset Wilby a couple of years ago in the state tournament. But you got to be careful, Coach. You got to protect the Achilles.
It's a long season too. He may have to jump up once or two. Hopefully, it's his sake. He's got a few more. But John, the team's playing well, and your team got to show you that it can also get a win when you're tested against an underrated West Hill team.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, a ton of credit to Berto and West Hill. Those guys were really ready to play Friday night, and you know, I know I've mentioned to you and obviously to some other people, I mean, they have an elite backcourt and Daquan Turner and Anthony Stevenson. I don't think those guys get enough credit, honestly. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, a game clearly that could have went either way. You know, but what I was most proud about with our kids is our resiliency there in the last 2 minutes of overtime. You know, we kind of kicked away a 6-point lead late, and, you know, West Hill's got all the momentum, and they score the first two baskets of the overtime, and we're down four, and, you know, we get a stop. We get Carlo to the line. We're down two. We get a stop. We come down. We get a layup. We tie it. We get another stop. We come down. We take a lead off a play call, and, you know, they end up tying it at the line, and we come down, and obviously Lorenzo took care of the rest. So, you know, in those situations, I told the guys after the game, like, it's not always going to be, hey, maybe we win by 15 or whatever the case may be. It's sometimes you learn more about your group in those types of situations than you do in, you know, a win maybe over, like, you know, we had against New Canaan on Tuesday night.
Was that the last play? Was that something you practice, or were they just sort of freelancing and running the offense and working for the best shot available?
Yeah, it actually was a play call. Gavin Mertz, or one of our guards, sort of spaced out and forgot to set a little bit of a cross screen. But, yeah, it was, you know, designed to get Lorenzo and Carlo into a little bit of a two-man game and free up Zoe on the perimeter where he can kind of wheel and deal and you know, as the kids say, he got into his bag there a little bit and made an unbelievable shot.
You got five starters. Everyone scored at least 8 points. Yeah, with Carlo leading you the way with 17, I'm sure you're going to sign up for your five starters, giving you a balanced scoring like that every night.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. You know, we've been talking about how, you know, we need a little bit more production from certain guys outside of like Zoe and Carlo, and we need a little bit more bench production. And it's been, I mean, look, we're 8-1, so it's been plenty of nights where we've had that. And, you know, there's some other nights where maybe, you know, Carlo go gets his 25 or whatever it may be. And, you know, it's not always going to be Carlo or Lorenzo, and we're going to have to, you know, find other guys that can step up and like you said, give us 6 points here, 8 points there, make a big shot at a big time, whatever the case may be. And, you know, we're not the deepest team. I think we're, you know, much deeper last year, but I think, you know, we've got, you know, guys, you know, 6, 7, and 8 off the bench that certainly can contribute on the offensive and defensive end.
Excuse me, John. John, you only need 5 or 6 to win. Trust me, I did that for a lot of
years. Yeah, you're talking to...
I mean, I listen, Coach, you know, playing against you and coaching against you, I saw that for years, so for sure.
Yeah, he didn't believe in 6th, 7th, or 8th men unless the score was such. So just talk a little bit about, you know, Carlo plays taller than he really is, and he's not a short guy. He and Mason Tobias, who I saw Tuesday, they both play like they're about 6'6", and you guys do such a good job of getting him the ball inside where I don't know who's going to stop him. Not too many players can, and if you do try to stop him, it means you're sending him to the foul line. And by the same token, he's an unselfish player, so if nothing's there, he's going to kick the ball back out.
Yeah, I think, listen, Carlo is one of one, man. I mean, a lot of credit to him. You know, he was in the weight room every day this summer. You know, he got a lot stronger in the offseason. You know, then he goes and plays football, and it's just, you know, I can't believe how quickly he gets right back into basketball and produces at a high level like he's done for us this year. And, you know, I don't think Carlo gets enough credit for his footwork, you know, in the paint, his ability to pass out of a double, you know, and spray it for a shooter on the perimeter. And I don't think what he's sort of quite tapped into yet, but it's there, is, you know, his ability to play out in the perimeter and stretch you too. You know, he can shoot it. So, you know, he's a multidimensional player that can kind of hurt you in a variety of ways.
Mike, jump on in.
I agree with you. I think he's unselfish, too. As shown by that last play, by the way, he had the ball. He could have gone one-on-one there. But he handed it off to Savolini, and Savolini hit the jump shot. So, I mean, that shows me that he cares about the team more than him and doesn't try to do everything himself.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for all these guys, you know, honestly. I mean, this is, you know, I think our culture is in a great spot, and we got a bunch of selfless dudes that just want to win, you know, and they really do, you know, care for each other. They want to see each other succeed, you know, and I think, you know, that's obviously a big part of winning.
Well, that's, I mean, to me, that's the mark of a good team, getting a team to play together, care about each other. And, you know, the coach promotes that, and you've done that, John. I love the way, by the way, you know, you don't stay on one thing man-to-man the whole way. Against West Hill, I saw you throw a little bit of a 2-2-1 and some other defenses just to change things up. And, you know, I think that's important at times, especially in a game like that where everything is not going well for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, those two guards and Daquan and Stevenson are just tough covers, and they put pressure on defenses. And sometimes you just got to change the pace, you know, and maybe get it back in your favor if you feel like the game's speeding up a little bit. And, you know, if we're just having a hard time covering them, you know, one-on-one or man-to-man, just, you know, maybe throw a little bit of a different wrinkle. So we went a little 2-3 and kind of threw that in at times. And yeah, but we talk in timeouts to my guys. You know, I want to know kind of where their head's at, what they feel might work as well. So I tap into them as well. And I mean, late in the game, I asked them, hey, do you want to stay in man? You want to go to zone? And I had one idea, and, you know, all five late in that West Hill game were like, no, let's just keep playing man to man. So, you know, I thought our defense overall Friday was good. You know, it wasn't as good as it was against New Canaan. I thought that was the best defensive performance we played all year on Tuesday night. But, you know, I still think, I mean, look, you hold a team to 51 points in an overtime game. I still think you're doing a great job. So, yeah, not afraid to change things up. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
No, I've been there and done that. And I expected to see a triangle and two or something out of you. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, that's when I call you after you get off the air and we talk about that, because I know that's your specialty.
Hey, John, how one thing I'm curious about, you didn't have to take any threes against New Canaan. You guys were scoring from right in the paint. And I didn't really see, other than the end of overtime, Friday's game, you know, Stabellini hit a couple of threes. How is the team in terms of being a three-point shooting team?
I think up until New Canaan, we've been pretty good. You know, we're averaging six a night, you know, through the first, you know, seven games. And, you know, we've struggled a little bit, obviously, in the last two. But I think the message to the guys is, like, we're getting great looks, you know, and we've got plenty of capable shooters. So you just got to keep shooting. You know, they're not all going to go in all the time every night, right? So we're trying not to sort of dwell on that. You know, like, oh, we're missing now. Like, it's more of, okay, like, these are great looks. You know, let's just stick with it. So, I mean, we were at Danbury, you know, a couple weeks ago and struggled shooting the ball in the first half. And the message at halftime was like, look, literally every single one of these looks is a good one. So they're going to start to go in, and, you know, we go out and score 36 points in the second half. So, you know, we shot the lights out. So I just think the message is, look, man, you know, we've got capable shooters. You know, let's just keep shooting.
Yeah, I was asking just because you didn't really have to take threes this past week. I didn't see the West Hill game. New Canaan, you were getting all the shots you took were good looks. There's no reason to try to work threes. How as we finish up here, how do you look at the league and the landscape right now? I you know, everybody is sort of anointed Staples as the heavy favorite. Do you see this as the rest of the league just being really balanced, and you got to work hard to everybody's could end up beating up on everybody?
Well, I mean, look, sometimes people think I'm crazy when I tell them this, but I'm dead serious. I mean, every game for us that we played so far and the remaining games on our schedule scare the daylights out of me. Because one, I think this league has elite coaching. I think you got guys that really do an unbelievable job. every team, every single team. And then you have teams, obviously, that have a lot of talent. Some teams that may not have a certain level of talent to another team. It's made up, you know, with the coaching, with the preparation. You've got a bunch of kids in this league that play hard. You know, they play hard. They defend. So, yeah, I think the league is it's the same story every year. You know, the league is really balanced. You've got to be ready to play every single night. Case in point there on Friday against the good West Hill team. You know, you can't overlook anyone. Our message to our kids is, like, the next game is the next biggest game. You know, it's the most important one. So, yeah, I think, you know, obviously Staples is playing great basketball. There's no doubt about it. Trumbull's playing great basketball, undefeated. You know, Ridgefield's starting to hit their stride, I think. But, I mean, I look at, like, a team like McMahon, who we have on Tuesday night, and I think they're really talented. I mean, really talented, really fast. You know, they defend – they defend the hell out of you. And I mean, you better be ready to play. Or you're going to get beat. Doesn't matter who you play.
Well, John, a good job with the team as always. And there's nothing really spectacular, but you guys don't really have any weaknesses and do everything solid. And I think we all agree you're going to be in this race for the long haul. So congratulations on the good start, and best of luck the rest of the way, and thanks for taking a little time with us here this morning.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Good luck,
John. We're pleased with the start. Long way to go, but we're certainly pleased with the start, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Now I'm going to talk to Mike. I'm going to ask him where to go Tuesday, but your game's under consideration, so you may see me Tuesday night.
Well, we always appreciate the coverage and what you guys do for the league. So always great chatting with you, and hopefully talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
Good luck.
Fairfield Ludlow coach John Daly. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Mike and I are going to bounce over and talk a little Stanford basketball. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school basketball. The Rudin Report presents Nothing But Net with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. Thanks to John Daly. And the other game in between the two we've discussed, Thursday night, I went over to Stanford to check out the Black Knights and 7-foot center Jordan Sutton, and they played Staples. Staples came away with a 67-38 win, and it was a 12-9 game after the first quarter, and that was in part because Sutton had 6 points and was getting the ball down low, and then he got into foul trouble, and he was out of the game, and when he was in the game, he wasn't getting the ball down low. And Mike, we've talked a lot about this, and number one, we don't even have to talk about Staples. They put four guys in double figures. The only thing that you know stood out to me, and it's not that it stood out that it hasn't happened before, but even what we're going to talk about, Staples played great defense on Sutton, and Mason Tobias, just like we talked about Noecker, he plays. He's about 6'2", 6'3", and he plays 6'6", and he did a great job. But you know, I told you a few things I came away with, you know, just watching Jordan Sutton. And you know, when you have a 7-footer like that, yeah, number one, he's got to see the ball almost every time down court. If you're practicing, would you agree, almost say, okay, I want you to run your offense, and Jordan's got to touch the ball at least once, and unless you got a transition or someone gets a real open look beforehand.
Well, to your point, Dave, excuse me, I think Jordan Sutton is developing as a player, and like you say, he's got to touch the ball most of the time. And that's a hard thing to get your team sometimes to buy into, but I think you tell them, look, if we want to win, there's where we have to go. And when they double team him, he's willing to pass out to her. You watch me passes out from the post to the open player. And that's the way Stanford's going to win. But he's got to stay on the floor. you can't be committing fouls. Some of them are silly fouls. And I think if once he learns that, it'll be more of a benefit to Stanford, team.
I thought also, I mean, in three of the fouls, you know, one was at midcourt, which when they had the ball and a couple on the offensive end. But he also, and maybe it was just this night, I don't know, but he does, for a seven-footer who's getting banged around, boy, the refs don't show him a lot of love. He doesn't get a lot of calls. I was, and I don't know him at all, really. I've only covered him a couple of times. So I walked away. I told you this. I was waiting after I interviewed Staples. I went, and Stanford was still in the locker room, still meeting. When they came out, and just looking at like Jordan's body language or stuff, he didn't look happy. He didn't look like he was having fun. And again, he had a tough night where he's not getting any calls. He's being defended while he's not on the court. You know, the first time Stanford has the ball, he gets it about 12 feet from the basket. He's looking to defender one-on-one, dribbles once between his leg, and just drives to the basket. And I'm saying to myself, man, I don't know that he could have made that move last year. And if you put him in that position, they're going to be dangerous. But he hardly got the ball in that position the rest of the night.
So I saw that move, and I said, well, that's a big-time move. And, you know, like you say, though, he's got to get the ball almost on every possession. And sometimes when they double-team him, triple-team him, get physical with him, he's just got to maintain his composure. And he's got to kick it out and maybe reset, repost, and get it back into him again on the other side. Or, you know, if you got guys, they have a couple guys that will shoot the three. The lefty, I forget his name, he could hit an outside shot. So, I mean, they're going to have to rely on that, too. They can't just rely on Jordan Sutton scoring 30 points a night, because that's not going to happen because the defenses are going to be all over him. And I think the other important thing you got to talk about with Jordan is his ability on the defensive end to block shots and stay, to keep teams out of the paint. I thought Staples did a pretty good job of that when Stanford was playing man-to-man, bringing Tobias outside. I don't know if he can guard Tobias on a perimeter. But, you know, they have to come up with a defense where they can kind of keep him in the middle and at the same time put pressure with the guards. And I think that they could be successful in doing that, but you have to get the team to buy into it, and I think that's what Coach Atour and his staff have to accomplish. And, you know, they're working at it. They can't say that they're not. And he's into it. Dan is doing the best he can, or trying to.
Yeah, like I said, you got a seven-footer. You want to take advantage of it. And I just think he needs to see the ball a lot more. And he's also going to play. I mean, he was playing the best team in the league. So he's not going to be defended like he was. It'll be okay. He's got to get a lot more touches, a lot more touches. That was my big takeaway, because I think you saw it in patches. He's an improved player, so take advantage of it. We only have about 20, 30 seconds left, Mike. Where do I go? Where do I go Tuesday night? Do I go to Greenwich at New Canaan, or do I go to McMahon at Ludlow, knowing on Friday I'm probably going to Wilton and New Canaan will be there?
Well, I think you got to go to McMahon and Ludlow after what John Daly told us about McMahon, how quick and how tough they can be. So that could be a real good game. But one last thing quickly on Jordan Sutton. He's got to stay on the floor. No silly fouls. Stay on the floor, and Stanford has a chance. Get him the ball.
Yep, I'll decide. I want to see Greenwich play. Greenwich also has Staples on Friday night. So I'll figure it out. But, Mike, another good show. Thanks again to John Daly. Thanks to Paul Goodman. And Nothing But Net is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. Have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday.